Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who is good and who does good. Amen. All right, so next is the singing time. And we're going to see if you guys remember the song. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We sang this last meeting. Shalom, ask. Shalom, peace. Yerushalayim, Jerusalem.
Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. 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 Shalom. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom. 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 Shalom, 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 shalom,
like that, Gabriella?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, we have another word that is imperative. You guys know hallelujah. That means praise. Praise who? Yah. So we have hallelujah. Okay. Now this is shalu, another imperative, another command. Do you know that in all the world, there is only one city that is being asked to be prayed for? Jerusalem. Think about that. Just think about that. Only one city in the whole world. Okay, to be prayed for. And we are commanded to pray for Jerusalem. Do you notice, what do you notice about Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim or Jerusalem. The word shalom and Jerusalem. You know, the sound of...
City of peace.
Correct, but shalom and Shalayim, same root word. Okay, Jerusalem, it's all from Shalom. The word Islam. Islam. Shalom. It's all, the root is also Shalom. It, you know, it's supposed to be the religion of peace, right? Islam. Another one, Muslim. Shalom. Okay, the S sound, the L sound, and the sound. All going back to peace. So the Middle East is always hoping for peace. Alright? And they're fighting for, you know, who would dominate the one. But anyway, so this is Shalu. Pray. And there's another song that I'm going to teach you. It says Hodu. Can you say Hodu?
Hodu.
It's another command. It says thank. or give thanks. All right? So let's see if I can find it. It says, Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Okay.
Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov, Ki Le'olam Hasdo.
Hodu.
Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov, Ki Le'olam Hasdo.
Hodu.
Hodu, Hodu, Hodu. Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov.
Hodu.
Hodu, 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 Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov. Hodu Le Elohei Ha Elohi. Le olam chasdo, ki le olam chasdo.
Hodu le Elohei ha-Elohim.
Hodu le Elohei ha-Elohim. Ki le olam chasdo.
Hodu.
Hodu, 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 Hodu Ladonai.
Hodu Ladonai Ha'adonim.
Hodu Ladonai Ha'adonim.
Ki Le'olam Chasdo.
Ki Le'olam Chasdo.
Hodu Ladonai Ha'adonim.
Hodu Ladonai Ha'adonim. Ki Le'olam Chasdo.
Amen. Hodu le'Elohei ha'Elohim. Give thanks to the God, to the God of gods. Ki le'olam chasdo, because his mercy endures forever. Hodu la'Adonai ha'Adonim. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, because his mercy endures forever. Now, for those who know the answer to this story that I'm going to share, please. You know, just don't blur the answer, okay? You guys who attended my Friday night. Okay. Hodu is the word for give thanks. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. Give thanks. Hodu. Do you know that Hodu in Hebrew is turkey? What do you serve on Thanksgiving? Turkey. So you see... You see the connection there?
No. What do we eat during Thanksgiving? It's turkey. So Thanksgiving is from the Jewish people. It is actually the Feast of the Tabernacles. What do they do during the Feast of Tabernacles? They gather their harvest and they give thanks. And then the pilgrims came to the United States. We moved the date from October to November.
Really?
Yes. So it's right there. You know, even the songs is telling. You know, when Jesus said, "Even the rocks will cry out." Everything now is crying out for us to learn. It's beautiful. All right. Let me ask Daniel to open us up in prayer, please.
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We give you thanks, Lord, for this time of sharing and gathering to learn your word, to learn your language, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this opportunity to bring it into our hearts and minds, to know what you think, because we are learning your language. So we pray that everyone here tonight will open up their hearts and their minds and receive the word. We pray all this in your precious, holy, and wonderful name, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. I'm so excited. Next week is our last meeting. Are you guys excited?
No, we want to continue on.
Well, you need to ask the people who's running this church if you want to continue. Yeah, I would love to. I would love to continue. Okay, so before we jump into the letter Kof, let's review some of our, what do you call it? Vowel points. Okay? Let me see if I can make this bigger. Can you see this?
Mm-hmm.
Is it clear? From the back, you guys can see this?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Okay. So this second column here. Okay, here's the Hebrew. This is the Aleph. And under the Aleph is a ah sound. But this is the quick sound of ah. Ah. Short sound. Ah. And then this is the normal, the patak, and this is the long ah sound. Now, there is another ah sound that is kamatz hey. This is kamatz, we call it kamatz, and I call it kamatz hey because there's a letter hey following. Okay? So you can read this as ma, okay? If this is a different consonant, if this is a letter Aleph, it is A. If it is a Shin, it is Sha. Okay? And this is a silent letter. The H, the He here becomes silent. All right? So now we have how many A sounds?
Four.
We have four. Okay? Now, don't worry about this. Okay? Let's just worry about pronouncing it. So these are the four different ah sound. Okay. Next, let's see what we have. This is the eh sound. Okay. So this is the fast or short eh. Okay? The eh sound. Can you guys see it? And this is the regular eh. And this is the long A. Now, look what happens. This mem has a segol, just like this one, the regular E sound. And then there's a yod next to it. Okay, now you read it as A, with the A sound, may. Okay, because the yod has the yeah sound. Okay, so this is may. Oh, look at the next one. It's another segol, and it has the hey. All right, so this is a meh. Okay, with the yod next to it, it's meh. With the hey next to it, it is meh. Look at this. Okay, and also the letter sere right here, there's also another way of pronouncing the S sound with the yud. It's, again, just like this with a segol, it's may, may. And then this is meh. All right? And then you just substitute your favorite consonant. All right? And then the shva. We know the shva. The shva is the real quick. There's a stop right there. Like, let's see. The word maverick. How do you spell maverick?
M-A-V-R-I-C-K.
Maverick. Is that right? Maverick. You don't pronounce that. You don't say maverick, right? If I write this in Hebrew, I would say maverick. Okay? So in Hebrew, when you see this, this is the it's cutting it, maverick. Okay? So if I write this in Hebrew, I would say, what is the ma sound?
Mem.
Very good. And we need an a vowel. Let's try the patach. What is the patach? The little minus sign. Okay? And then let's find a v sound. Vet or vav. Let's try the vet, okay? Because that's what Gabriella chose. Okay?
Okay?
Now, yeah. So we will put the shaba here. Mav, and then the r sound. Resh. You guys are good. Resh. Okay, and then what's the e vowel?
A yud e.
We can put the yud here and the e. Okay, and we will find the ka sound.
Ku.
Okay, so this is going to be the letter ku. So this is mavrit. So that is what the segol, the shabba is for. Okay? This becomes a one syllable, a close syllable. Mav. Close syllable. Because this is a consonant, that is a vowel, and another consonant. Okay, there's another syllable here. Okay, rik. Mav, rik. Okay, so here, in English, just imagine, yes, there's a letter E there, but you don't pronounce it. Okay, you just say maverick. All right? Is this clear? Is this kind of... Yeah? Okay. So that's the problematic shaba. Okay. And it belongs to the eh sound. Because sometimes, all the time anyway, when the shaba is in the very beginning word, let's say brashit. Brashit. Okay? Here. Am I doing? Oh, no. Bereshit is. Bereshit. There you go. Bereshit. Okay, this one, you pronounce the quick eh or the short eh. Bereshit. Okay? Bereshit. Okay? There are two kinds of shaba. The vocal shaba, where we say bershi, and the, what is the other shaba again, Noreen? The vocal shaba and the silent shaba. This is a silent shaba. That is a vocal shaba. Okay? Okay, so let's move on with the E sound. E sound is very easy. Let me see if I can do it. Oh, there you go. We only have two. The hirik, the dot underneath the consonant, and same thing as the e and the in the A, we have the yod following the hirik. So this is the same sound, E, okay? As in ivri. You see this word? This is ayin with the hirik underneath. And the bet, this is a perfect example of Shabbat. Okay? Look at this. This is ivri. You do not say ivri, you say ivri. Okay? You see here, let me write it down. Ivri, ayin, irik, and then vet, and then resh, and then hirik again, and then yod. Ivri. Do you know what ivri is? Hebrew. If I add a tab here, ivrit. Hebrew. Oh, what happened? Ivri without the tab is the Hebrew person. Ivri with a tab, ivrit is the language, the Hebrew language. Okay? Okay, so here comes a perfect example of Shabbat. Ivri. Not ivri, but ivri. Okay, the next vowel sound is, or vowel point is the letter O, or O as in Osaka or Ontario. Okay, now there is something that's new here. The two top ones, right? And the bottom one, because I only taught you the cholem, the dot on top of the consonant on the left side. That is an O sound. And so with the mem, with the cholem on top, it is what?
Mo.
Mo. Now with the vav, with the cholem vav, it is the same thing.
Mo.
Now we add the letter hey, same thing.
Mo.
But what in the world are those two above are doing there? Why do they have the O sound? Let's talk about this one first. When you say this, you would say ma.
Ma.
It's mo. This is what we call this kamatz katan, or a long O sound. Okay, it is not very common. Okay, the word Naomi, Naomi, has that sound. Or, let's find another word. Can we read this? Okay? If you see the kamatz under the chet, you would automatically say, oh, that is ha, ma. But no, it's ho, ma. Okay? That's one rule that we're going to be talking about in the advanced class. Okay? Because this syllable here, ho, ma, you notice when I say it, Chokma. The accent is on the last syllable. Okay? This is unaccented closed syllable. When it is an unaccented closed syllable, and when you see this, this is a letter O sound. But you don't have to worry about it yet. Okay? This is just an intro to Hebrew. Okay, so the top one is the same thing. Okay? It is the short O sound. Omicron. What is Omicron? In Greek, we say Omicron, right? Omicron is the regular O sound. The letter O. Okay? I'll use my blue one. In Greek, Omicron. And we have Omega. Okay? Omega. And how do we write Omega? Like this, like a W. And this is Omega. When you see a big mall, you say mega mall, right?
because this is a short O sound and this is a long O sound in Greek. Okay, same thing in Hebrew. When you see this, this is our Omicron and this is our Omega. Remember Alpha and Omega? Mm-hmm. You see, this is supposed to be two letter O. Okay, looks like W. Alpha and Omega. Omicron use, what is a micros? You know?
Small.
So this is a small or short O sound. This is the long, the mega sound. Okay, so when you see this kamatz, hatep kamatz, that is our Omicron in Hebrew, and the kamatz katan, that is our Omega in Hebrew. All right, so we have another vowel point, which is, what's the last one? Ooh, all right. With the ooh, we only have two. Thank the Lord. We have the kibbutz with the three dots. One, two, three. And then the shurek. The shurek is the vav with the belly button. Okay, right there. And somebody hit that vav and he goes, ooh. Okay, so when you see that vav with the belly button next to a consonant, it's the ooh sound. So in this case, it's a moo. If I change the mem to the letter nun, what do I hear? Nu. What about the lamed? Lulu. Okay. All right. So let's see if we have other things here. We talked about this last time. So now what I'm going to do, I will email you those extra. You don't have to take pictures. Okay. So those are all of the vowel points, okay? When you memorize all those vowel points and the rule of Sheba, now you can read Genesis like this one. Yes, I started from this, you know? Nobody taught me. I was on my own 5 years ago, okay? So, but anyway, let's move on. Let's see what else I have here. Okay. Special letters. Last time we talked about the labials, the bilabials, the b, the m, and the p sound, the bump. They're bilabials because when you pronounce them, only your lips are moving. B, m, and p. Okay? Now, we also talk about the silent letters. What are the silent letters? We have the Aleph. We have the Ayin. I don't know why Ayin is not here. We have the He. When He is added at the very end of the word, it is silent. And the Vav also is silent. And the Yod becomes silent. Ivri. Ivri. You don't say Ivri. Ivri. This is silent. Okay, vowel letters, we find that these are the vowel letters because they are added to the words. Hey, Vav, and Yod. Those are vowel letters. And let's see here. We also learned a little bit about the Begad Kefat letters. These letters take the gesh. Okay? This vet sound. This is a V sound without the belly button, without the V. And the gimel stays the same. Gimel, gimel, the G sound. The dalet stay the same. Same sound, D, D. Now the kaf changes from kaf to kh, ha, just like letter khet. The fe becomes p sound. But the letter tav stay the same, the t sound. Okay? Now, why Begad Kefat letters? This is the acronym. B-G-D-K-P-T. Begad Kefat. That's just the acronym. Okay? So you have to remember that these letters take the piercer or the dagesh. Okay?
Okay, so we're not going to go there, but we're going to talk about the gutturals.
This is your garon. Say garon.
Garon.
Garon is your throat, over inside your throat.
Okay, these are the gutturals. These are the letters that we pronounce from our throat, okay? But the aleph is silent. We really lost the sound of it over, it was like 3,000 years ago when they're still pronouncing it. Hey, coming from your garon. Chet, ayin is silent, but it used to be, you know, like Gomorrah and Gaza. It starts with the ayin. And resh, okay? Resh is coming from your throat. These are the gutturals. And the gutturals do not take a dagesh. You do not see an aleph with a dot. You do not see an ayin with a dot. You do not see a chet with a dot. But you will be seeing a hey with a dot. But that is next year. Okay, we call the hey with the dot, with the dagesh, a true hey. Okay? All right. So let's see. And resh sometimes take the dagesh as well. Okay, so let's move on and let's talk about, let's see what else we have here. I don't know why. Oh, okay. Okay, so let's go ahead and review our aleph bet so far. We had studied from aleph to sadi. Believe it or not, we only have four letters left. And tonight we're going to be talking about three of them. And then on next Thursday, we're going to be talking about the letter tav. Love. I love the letter tav. Okay, so the letter aleph is a symbol of the father. Okay, he is the leader. And next to him on his right-hand side is the Beth, okay, house, tabernacled. Who tabernacled with us? Yeshua did. Okay, and from the Father, Ab, when you put that together, that spells Ab, which is Father. From the Father proceeds the Gimel, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, who has the mission to teach the word to this Dalet, who is high and mighty and ready to fall. He's destitute. He is poor. Okay. Will Dalet receive the message from the Gimel? Yes. Look at the Holy Spirit. This is the Yod inside the Dalet. And now he is a brand new man. Vav is actually a symbol of man. This is the sixth letter. Adam was created on the sixth day. Now, this man needs a weapon. A weapon is the sword of the spirit. The Zion is a picture of a weapon. And Chet. Okay, now this man is ready to walk, to do the spiritual walk. And he's ready to be yoked with the Messiah. The letter Chet is a symbol also of life with the Messiah. All right? Now, next to Chet is the Tate. Actually, the Tate is the upside down Chet. Okay, and he has to bow before the Messiah. This side of the Tate is actually the Vav bowing to the Zion. Now, when we are empty, now we're ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Yod, the tiniest, hovering little Yod, okay, is a symbol of humility, okay, the Holy Spirit. Now, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are ready to do good works. The palm of our hands, ready to do good works. And now, when we do good works, what happens? We light a candle, and our good works are seen. To glorify us?
No.
No, to glorify our Father in heaven. All right? And the letter Lamed symbols is a symbol of authority. Okay? Now, next to Lamed, who is always reaching up to learn some more, next to it is Mem. Mem is a symbol, the picture of Mem is the water, right? And water seeks the lower parts of the earth. It also shows humility. And also Nun. Remember Nun? He got lost. Nun is missing in Psalm 145 because it fell. But God is ready to support Nun because here comes Samek. What do you mean by Samek? Samek means support. Okay, now we are supported by the Lord, and He is ready to teach us. He is ready to open our eyes. Okay, He wants us to see first before we speak. Before speaking, we need His insights first. Okay, the letter Pei is a picture of a mouth. Next to it is the Sadi. We talked about Sadi last Thursday. And Sadi stands for? Tzedek. What is Tzedek? Righteousness. Righteousness. And a Sadi right here is a picture of what? Look at this. That's the head. That's the praying hands. And that's his knees bended. Praying like this. Okay. So now let's take a look at the letter Kuf. If Sadi is the symbol for righteousness, Kuf or Kof also symbolizes something. So let's take a look. Okay, the Kof is the back of the head right here. It looks like a letter P, only not attached to this line, right? Okay, next. This is the evolution of the letter Kuf. The back of the head and the Proto-Canaanite, look, it looks like the letter P extended to the left. And Moses wrote it this way. Let's see if I can make this bigger. Okay? King David wrote it. Looks like a lollipop, huh? And Daniel wrote it that way. And ultimately it became our letter Q. With a Q or K sound. Okay, so that's the coup. Now, there is this old coin. Look, 67 AD. What is AD? Anno Domini. The year of our Lord. Some people say after death of Christ. Okay, so 67 AD, they found this coin with the letter coup right there. Oh, too big. Okay, Jerusalem, the holy. Okay, Kuf is the beginning letter of the word Kadosh. That means holy. Remember the song? Holy, holy, holy. Okay. What is it in English? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. It's funny because who was and is to come. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai Tzevaot Asher Haya Hove Beyabo.
What does it mean? Kadosh?
Holy. Okay? Kadosh. We'll talk about that. We will talk more about that. Okay, so here's more meanings of the letter Kuf. Holiness, growth cycles, back of the head. What is behind or to follow. Or last, remember this, Kuf means last or final, or least. Look at the next meaning. Monkey. Kuf is a monkey. We'll talk about that. It also means edge or horizon. That's the meaning of the letter Kuf. Okay, let's see this. The bottom picture. This is Kuf, Vet, and Resh. Can you see this? Oh, I need to make it bigger. Let me see. Ah, okay, all I can do is this. Okay, Kever. Okay, Kever is tomb or grave. Okay, the word for a sepulcher or grave is Kever. Look at the picture word. Okay, the Kuf is what? It means last or final. And then the next letter is a picture of a house. And then the next letter is a picture of a man. Resh is a picture of a man. So kever, that is last house man. So tomb. The word picture tells us that the grave is the final home of a man.
Rest home.
Kever. Okay? This is a very famous kever. You see here, kuv, vet, resh. Kever. Let's try to pronounce the next word. What is this? Resh, chet, lamed. Try to put that together. Yes.
Rachel.
Rachel. Kever Rachel, the tomb of Rachel in Bethlehem. Look how beautiful. Okay, this is her tomb. Okay, so let's see. It's the 19th letter of the alphabet. It has the 100 numeric. Numeric value is 100. Okay, and that is one of the old picture of Kuf, back of the head. Now, interesting. The name, Yitzchak. 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 Okay? When you add this yod to tzachak, tzachak means laughter. But when you add the yod, it becomes a name of Isaac. Yitzchak. Okay? I'm showing you this because there's something funny about this. So, tzachak. Tzachak means laughter. Why did they laugh? Okay. Who are the parents of Isaac?
Sarai
and Abraham. Okay. But their names became Sarah and Abraham. Well, they were laughing because Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old when they had Isaac, the baby. And chet is also a symbol for life. Okay? So you gotta laugh. Because they had their little boy when they were very, very old. Okay. The kuf has a numeric value of 100, which was Abraham's age when they had the child. Okay. There's the letter kuf. Numeric value is 100. And you notice Lamed goes up, right? It wants to seek the heavenly. But the kuf, for some reason, that vav right there is seeking downwards. Okay, it extended downward, just like, see, that's the lamed. Just like the other letters, you know, the sofit, they extend downwards. Not really humility. But I do not have the notes about the story behind this. I'm just showing you the relationship that amongst these 22 letters, the kuf has the characteristics of the final letters in the word. Kuf means final. Okay? But there's more story behind it. Okay, so there's the kuf or kof. If Sadi stands for righteousness, Kof stands for holiness. Okay, or holy, kadosh. This is how you spell kadosh. Kuf, dalet, vav, and shin. Kadosh. Okay? The angel said in Isaiah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. In Hebrew, kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot. The word host, that's okay translation, but the word tzava is army. Okay? So tzava is singular, tzevaot is plural, meaning armies. Okay? Adonai Tzevaot, armies of the Lord. And who are his armies? The angels, okay? So the angels are singing kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Now, does it mean that there are three gods? No. Some commentaries say it's alluding to the Trinity. But there's a lot of words in the Tanakh that are repeated like this, like Eretz, 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 Earth, Earth, Earth. So does it mean that there are three Earths?
No.
This is for emphasis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're emphasizing how holy God is. Okay. No, nation is goyim. Yeah, Eretz is earth or ground, the dirt. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about holiness. God said in Leviticus 11:44-45, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Again, he says, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore holy, for I am holy." Wow. That is a lot of holy word. Okay, so let's take a look at that in Hebrew. Okay, this is Behit Kadishtem, Behitem Kedushim. Okay, I want you to look at this Kuf, Dalet, and Shin. Okay, this word means, "And you shall consecrate yourselves." Behit Kadishtem, Behitem Kedushim. "And you shall be holy." In English, it says, "Consecrate yourselves and make yourselves holy." There are two words there, sacred and holy. It should have been, "You shall holify yourselves to make yourselves holy." Because in Hebrew, the root, kadosh, didn't change. Okay? There you go. And we will talk about that next week. We will talk about the name Yeshua. And we will find out what's the connection of the name Yeshua to salvation. Okay? All right. So that is holy. What do you mean by holiness? When I was growing up, I thought all the priests are holy because they're wearing white. And they're walking like this. You know, and they're slow. They're very gentle. I thought that's being holy. Okay, now when I became a believer, I found out that being holy is simply being set apart for a purpose. Like my china in my china cabinet, I don't use those china, my pretty plates. Yeah, only for special occasions, only for Thanksgiving. Are they holy to me? Absolutely. Are they holy to you? No. No, only to me. God said, "Be holy." Okay. "Because I am holy. Be separate like me because I'm separate." God said he's holy too. He is set apart from the other gods. There's so many gods during those times. During the Israel time. And God always tell them, "Do not bow down to the Asherah poles. Do not bow down to the Baals, the Molech." There's so many. They even bow down to... Remember in the book of Acts, Paul said, "Oh, to the unknown God." You know, they worship everything. But anyway, going back to the Lord, he is holy because he's separate from this gazillion gods. Okay? So that simply means that's what holy is. Separate. Being separate from the rest. Okay? We are separate from the world. Okay, we are for the Lord's purpose. Okay, so let's see. This is the letter Kuf. You notice that the letter Kuf is not touching, the top is not touching this? Okay. Some sages think that is the covering, you know, the cup is the covering of the above, like this, meaning, "I want you to be separate. You are holy to me." Kuf, the letter Kuf. Okay? Holy. And this is actually a beautiful writing. This is a Kuf, Dalet, and Shin, Kadosh. This is Yod, He, Vav, He, and there's the Lamed. It is Ladonai. The La here is the preposition to. So Kadosh, holy, La, to Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. So this is Kadosh Ladonai, holy to the Lord. Okay? Like Gabriel, you know, being held by her mom. She's loved precious. By her mom. She's precious. We are precious in the Lord. Holy to the Lord. Kadosh Ladonai. Okay, so there is a Mishkan. Okay? It's called what? The sanctuary. Okay? Can we go in there and barbecue some pork ribs?
No.
Can we go in there and just, you know, play inside? Bring our toys and stuff, Gabriela? No, because that place is holy. It is set apart. It is built for a purpose. Okay? And even the furnishings of the tabernacle. You cannot use the spoons. There are some big spoons and pots and pans there. You cannot borrow them and say, can I use this to make some soup? No. They are holy. They're set apart. Okay? And it says here, and you shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels and sanctify or holify or set apart the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. All right, let's see the altar here. What do they do? Here, they sacrifice to the altar. Now, can I just go there and say, oh, can I make my cheeseburger?
No.
No, because it is set apart for a purpose. Just like us, we are set apart for a purpose. We cannot just go out there and do the worldly stuff. Okay? Now, inside the temple, there are tons and tons of utensils. Remember when Belshazzar, that royal guy, during the time of Daniel, when he said, okay, get all the gold and silvers, and they use it for what? They put their wines, and while they're doing their nasty things, all of a sudden there's a handwriting on the wall. He cannot just use those utensils for that kind of activity. Uh-uh. And so what happened to him? That same night. So look at this vessel. The vessels that are used in the temple, they have the letter kuf. That means it is kadosh. It is holy. Okay, now the high priest, do they take this garment home?
No.
They are most holy. They only wear this when they are ministering in the temple. Now, this high priest is wearing this headband right there. Okay? And on that headband, or a mitre it's called, it says again, Kuf, Dalet, Shin, Lamed, Yod, He, Vav, He, Kadosh, Ladonai. That high priest is separate for the Lord. Okay? Right there. So they cannot use this to do some barbecuing outside the temple. All right, so Kof. Kof, Vav, and Fe. I can't find my eraser. I don't know who used it the last. But anyway, Kof. It also means... Remember earlier we say...
Monkey.
Kof is a monkey. Monkey see, monkey do. Yes. Okay, Kof is a monkey. When you have three kof, when you have three apes or monkeys, you don't call them kof. You call them kofim. This becomes singular. Okay. Is that my letter bit? Okay. So this should have a dot. I'm sorry. Dot over here. Because that's the letter O sound. Kof. Okay, this is one monkey.
But we have 3 mantis there, so I will write this in the plural form. Kofim.
Kofim. Monkeys. Kofim. Monkeys. Kof. Monkey. All right. So when did we see that word Kofim in the Bible? It's in 1 Kings 10:22. It's actually shortened here. This is the story of Solomon when he's doing trade with other royalties. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, peacocks, Kofim. So that's the first mention of Kofim, of monkeys, in the Bible, in 1 Kings 10:22. Okay. So, you notice again, the Kof are not, you know, those two elements are not touching. What other letter has two elements that are not touching? Very good. Hey, the letter Hey. Okay, so this is the letter Kof. Now, there is one incident in the Bible that the letter Kof is not touching. I mean, the two elements are not touching. Now it looks like a letter P. Okay, let's take a look at the story. This is Beku Mayhem. See, this one is not touching. Okay? And this word means, let's read it in Exodus 32, 25 to 26. Now, when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies, that very word, Bekumehem, means among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me," and all the sons of Levi, gathered together to him. This is when Aaron built the holy cow. Okay? The holy cow. Now, in this incident, okay, that word among their enemies, in this very, very verse, it was written like this. It's attached. Okay. Among their enemies. The Lord or the Holy Spirit is saying something here. During that time, remember, they were gathered from Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They are being holified. I like that word, holified. They are being consecrated to Him. But what are they doing? They rebel. And so, this very word, okay, Beku Mayhem. See, this becomes attached. They are no longer, this group of people are no longer holy to Him. They became attached to the animal instinct of worshiping an animal. They went back to their being Kofim, their being ape inside. Okay? So, if you come across with this way of writing the letter Kof, the Holy Spirit is saying something. You are holy to me. Do not go back to your animal instinct. Kofim. Kof. Okay? And so, at that time, how many people died? 3,000. Okay, and the Lord also said, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness." How do you worship in the beauty of holiness? You have to be yourself holy. If not, you can't. You can't worship in the beauty of His holiness. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let that kofim, that ape instinct in us, to be stronger than the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? All right, so let's go back to this. Laughter. Remember, the reason why I show this again, the word laughter has righteousness and holiness and life in it. Only when you have this kind of life with righteousness and holiness, you can laugh. Okay? I'll give you a 5-minute break because we have two more letters. Sorry, I got extended a little bit there. So do you like the letter Kuf?
Yes.
Yes.
Here's a cookie.
So,
oh man, you're gonna have to. No.
singing.
You good?
I'm sure.
Okay. No, she's going to charge me.
There are some words from the Bible that could be interesting in all the Hebrew root is, for example, the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our sins, trespasses.
Hi.
And so,
I should almost say hi in the entire class.
Do you know what, it, what they mean?
Debt.
Debt.
Because, you know, trespasses is very, very broad.
Right, yeah.
Trespass.
Right, yeah, yeah, you could be on the,
yeah.
Okay, but it's more
general.
Have a few minutes ago. Okay, let's resume our class. Let's talk about Jim Caviezel. Jim Caviezel,
Passion of Christ, Passion of the Christ. Remember him?
All right. The letter resh. The letter resh is a picture of a your head. Rosh. The word rosh is actually literally head. Okay. Roshi. My head. Roshi. Rosh. Head. Or rosh sheli. My head. Rosh. Where's everybody? Okay. Okay. So the evolution of the letter resh. The head, the Proto-Canaanite actually write, you know, draw a picture of a head right here. What is that? Okay, and Moses wrote it like a letter kuf, but backwards. Yeah, look at that. And then it evolved to this letter resh. It kind of looked like the small letter R, only pointing to a different direction. Resh. Yeah.
The letter R, small R, but pointing in a different direction. This is resh. Okay.
So that's a little clue. Resh. It became our modern letter R. Okay. Bar Kokhba. Coin. It shows this letter resh on this coin. Okay. And it means choosing between. Also means greatness and degradation. Literally, it means head or the highest person, most important, beginning, top, or apex. Some of supreme, or it also means consider. So that's our letter resh. The word rav, can you say rav?
Yeah.
Rav is the absolute form of the word, from where we get rabbi. Actually, rabbi is English pronunciation of rabbi. Okay, Rabbi means my master. Okay, Rabbi. So the word for a leader or a master, Ra is Rab. Look at the picture word. Man and house. The word picture calls him the head of the house or the head of the school. Okay? The verb Rav means great or plenty. Okay? So now when you see Rabbi Barney, you know the root of his, what do you call it? The title. Rav. Okay, so next. See here, this is the letter Resh. It's spelled sometimes with a Yud in the middle. So, if there's an S sound, it should be what? A Segol or a Sere, the two dots here. Resh or Resh, because there's a Yud. Sometimes it is spelled without the Yud or Yod. It is a picture of the head. Okay, here you go. The modern resh. It has the numerical value of 200. If kof has 100, the resh has 200. If kof, which is the back of the head, is 100, the resh, which is the head, has 200. Twice the kof. Yes, the whole skull is 300. It is actually a bowed head, bent over in service. Remember in Ephesians, Jesus, he is the creator of all things. He is the King of glory, and yet he lowered himself. He bent down. He bent his head. Hosea 11:4 says, I led them with bonds of love, and I bent down and fed them. That is the Lord speaking here.
Servant.
Being a servant. Bent down. That is the symbol, what Resh symbolizes. Okay, so Resh sounds like Rosh. Head.
Bereshit. Bereshit. You see, Resh, Aleph, and Shin. This is Rosh. Bereshit means in the beginning or in the head of time. Head. Rosh.
The head of time. Right there. Now, this is just a sample of the DNA of Hebrew words, okay? You see, this is Rosh. This is Rosh. Another Rosh. Rosh and Rosh. But they're different words. This is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh, head, Shana, year. So Rosh Hashanah means head of the year or new year. This is Yom Rishon. Yom, day, Rishon, first. There's still the word Rosh in Rishon because it means first. So Yom Rishon is first day. First day of the week. Yom Rishon in English is Sunday. Sunday. First day of the week is Sunday. Okay? But in our calendar, sometimes we think that Monday is the first day of the week, right? But no, in the Jewish calendar, Yom Rishon, Sunday, that's the first day of the week. They go to work on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. But they go to their synagogue on Shabbat. Okay, this word Rishon is same as this word here, Yom Rishon. Simply means first. Okay, this is, again, Rosh. Mamshalah. Rosh Mamshalah. Mamshalah, it means government. Rosh is head. So Rosh Mamshalah means prime minister. Benjamin Netanyahu is Rosh Mamshala. He's the Prime Minister of Israel. Here you go, our favorite word, Bereshit. Bereshit, right here. In beginning. So you can see there's three letters can be many different words. Okay? But the meaning still the same, okay? Rosh Mamshala is prime. Yom Rishon is first. Bereshit is beginning. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is, again, the head of the year. This is how we are going to learn how to derive words, how to make words by using the roots. Okay, here's Bereshit, and listen carefully, because this will be talking about some important story about the beginning. So here we have Vet, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yod, and Tav. Bet is a picture of house, Resh is head, Aleph is ox, which is the first or God. Shin is devouring or eating. Yod is hand. And Tav is the sign of the cross. So all these in the word Bereshit. So let's play a little bit. Bereshit means in the beginning. And in the beginning, there's a rosh, there's a head. And there's also a ba-ya-ta, bait, where we get bait lechem. What is bait? House. There's a rosh inside the house. Or there's a man inside the house. That's one meaning of Bereshit. Aha. The very first word already is talking about a lot of things, right, Bob? Bob and I always talk about this. In the beginning is the rosh inside the house or a man inside the house. Okay, or the head over God's household. Who might that be? Okay. Do you agree? In Ephesians, what does it say? Okay. It says in Ephesians 5:23, for the man is the head of the woman, as the Messiah is the head of the congregation, and Messiah, and he is Messiah of the body. Okay, you see in Hebrew, there's Rosh, head of the woman, and head of the congregation. You see this Rosh? And Rosh, when you read it in Ephesians, you may think that he's the head of, or he's the leader, but actually that word head is actually the literal head of a man. All right. Now, Resh, right here, is present in the word Sheker. Shin, Kuf, Resh. Okay. The word sheker is falsehood. Falsehood. Now, you see here, kuf, resh, shin. Shin, kuf, resh. When you put this, when you change the placement of this letter, it becomes sheker, falsehood. The funny thing is that they congregate together, these three letters that forms falsehood. They congregate together. Okay, that's sheker, falsehood right there. Now, the word emet. The word emet is truth. And they do not congregate together. The letters for falsehood, they are always together and easily to be found. But the truth, they are all over the place. See? Aleph. There's a gap here, and then mem, and then tav. A-a-m-ta, emet. This is what Jesus said. Anochi, I am, haderech, the way, ha-emet, the truth, ha-chayim, the life. This is him, emet. And look, it won't take us long to find falsehood, because they congregate together. But it will take time to find the truth. because we have to go through all the alphabet.
Can you go back to the other screen? Uh-huh.
Sheka. Okay. So, this is the story of Sheka and Emmett. Okay. There is another letter that looks like the resh, and it's called the dalet. Look, the only difference is that little kot. Remember, not a yod and a tittle will pass away, everything shall be fulfilled. That is a tittle right there.
Like a bump.
Like a bump. And there, you know, without this bump, there are going to be two reshes, right?
That's a big one.
But we have to be careful, because there's an incident that if we misspell, if we write resh instead of dalet, it's going to be big trouble. And this is in the word, in the passage in Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And in the Tanakh, look at it. The dalet is big, because the sages don't want us to make a mistake. They don't want us to put a resh there, because if we put the resh, echad becomes achar. Achar means other. So when we say the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is another. Okay, so we have to be careful. There you go. And if we put aleph instead of ayin, in the word Shema, it becomes perhaps. Can you imagine saying perhaps? Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord our God is another. Okay, that's why they do all those. They do all those. They want to make sure that the anomalies are there as a reminder. Okay, so I think that's it for the letter resh. So what did we learn from resh? The head. And we learned that Jesus is the head of the household. But also sometimes that head congregate with the kuf and shin, and they get together and they become what? Becomes falsehood. So we have to be very careful. We have to really travel. We have to search the whole alphabet or the whole Tanakh in order to find the truth. Let us not just quickly form something and say, oh, this is the doctrine and I'm going to put my life on this doctrine and share it to everyone. No, we have to really search the truth. Okay, so that's resh. What is the next word, letter in the alphabet? Shin. And shin is a picture of a teeth. Now, when I say shin, it's one tooth. When I say shinayim, lots of teeth. Okay, a tooth. What do teeth do, Gabriella? It grinds the food, right? What if you don't have teeth? Then you go hungry, huh? It's the 21st letter of the alphabet. And here's the evolution of this letter. Moses wrote it this way. King David wrote it somewhat the same. And it became our letter S. When we add the dot. Oh, it's not here. Hold on a sec. When we put the dot on the right side, it's shin. But on the left side, it's sin. So sin is never right. Sin is never right. Okay, very good. Shin also means divine power, corruption, but also corruption. There's another beware kind of thing there. Sharp, to devour. Look, ivory, to destroy, to consume. Shekinah, Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Okay. Shekinah is English. Shekinah. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The letter Shin also alludes to the Shekinah. glory. Okay, there's the letter Shin in a coin, 133 AD. Okay, Sin is never right. Shin or Sin has a 300 numerical value. What's the significance of 300? Shin is spelled with the noon at the end. This is a noon sophit or a final noon. Okay, and this is also how you spell tooth, shin. It also looks like a flames of fire. Okay? Flames of fire or teeth is what the letter shin is a picture of. Now, in Deuteronomy 9:3, God said, "Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire." It's a consuming fire. In Hebrew, it said, "Beyadata hayom ki Adonai Elohecha hu haover lepanecha esh." This word here. Aleph and Shin, Esh is fire. Esh Ochla. Ochla means consuming or devouring. Ochla who? Okay? It says here, God who is crossing over before you is a consuming fire. Esh Ochla, consuming fire. I took this picture in Israel. I was so happy. This is 2013. Because everywhere we go, there's, Hebrew writing. I go, Esh! Oh, that's fire! And I didn't realize there's fire on top of the Hebrew word. Because I am so busy trying to read the Hebrew letters. Oh, that's fire! That's fire! So I took a picture. Oh, my goodness, there's fire on top of the... But anyway, this is how you write the letter Esh. And God said he is a consuming fire, right? Mm-hmm. So if we were created in his image, we are also fire. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, consuming fire, Esh Ochla. And you notice that the letter Aleph, which is the symbol of being the strong one or strength. Okay, and Shin, teeth, the strong teeth or devourer, the strong devourer. What is fire? It's a strong devourer. That's what happened in 2003 in San Diego. In 2007. Well, in Northern California, thousands of structures were devoured by the fire. Fire is a strong, consuming, strong devourer. Okay, Esh. Okay, let's talk about the numerical value of Shin. It's 300. In the Bible, there is this story in the book of Judges. It says, so he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. Who is this guy?
Samson.
Yes. He burnt up the shocks and standing grain together with the vineyards and olive groves. What a technique of beating the enemy. Okay, using 300 foxes. Okay, let's see what it looks like. Okay, there you go, Gabriella. That's how he did it. Those are the foxes. Yeah, and he put torches. And they, of course, they were running very fast, and they went to the fields of the Philistines. And the grains of the Philistines were gone. They don't have any more anything to eat. All right, 300. All right, the word Shimshon. Okay, this is Sh-M. Look at the Sheba. Shimshon. That is Samson in English. Shimshon. Shimshon. The word Shimshon is, the root word is Shemesh. Shemesh is sun, the sun. Fire, a ball of fire. Shimshon caught 300 foxes and attached torches to their tails. 300. And 300 is the numerical value of shin. Look at that. 300 foxes spread fire and done by Shimshon, whose name came from Shemesh, which is sun. Okay, let's take a look at another story. This one is also in Judges. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers, you know the story, into the hands of all of them with torches inside the pitchers. Who's this?
Gideon.
Yes, Gideon. Very good, Gabriella. Okay, Gideon is his name, and I like him. I like his story. He's very smart. He used 300 men carrying trumpets and torches. Again, there's 300. It's relating to torches, fire. Okay, so the letter Shin is really related to fire. Esh. There goes the 300 men with the torches. Okay, in Deuteronomy 4:24, it says that God is a consuming fire, right? And this is how you write the word Esh. Okay, Aleph and Shin. Who was in the burning bush? That's a burning bush. Okay, who talked to Moses? From a burning bush, okay. God is fire. Fire, when you write this in the old pictograph, it's a picture of the ox, which is the one that is strong, and the shin, teeth, strong devourer. Okay, that's fire. There you go. That's a house consumed by fire. Strong devourer. Okay. In Psalm 68, verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name. And what is his name?
Yah.
Yah. Yah is short for Yahweh, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay. So yeah, we use it when we say hallelujah. Yeah. It's just the yod and the hey. Okay, and the vowel point ah. Alright, so when we write it, yod, and we need an ah sound, Gabriella. What are we gonna add? Maybe the kamatz? This? Right? This makes a sound ah. Okay? And then the letter. Okay. Hey. This is yah. All right, yah. Y-A-H is the transliteration right here. So that's the name of God. The name of God has the other form of the name of God has two components, the yod and the hey. What is the picture of the yod?
Hand.
And the hey is somebody who's saying hello. Being revealed, behold hand. We talked about that before. Okay, so this is Yah in modern Hebrew, and this is Yah in the old pictograph. So, there it is. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. The Hebrew words for man and woman, husband and wife, are built around this word. Esh, fire. Ish is man. Isha is woman. And God is a consuming esh. Okay. Ish is man. Isha is woman. Now, ish kind of has been preserved, because what do you call a man from Britain? British. What is a man from Finland?
Finnish.
What is a man from England?
English.
From Spain?
Spanish.
Swedish. Ish. So it kind of got preserved. Ish is man.
Irish. Scottish.
Scottish.
American.
Scottish. Okay, so going back, let's go back. I only have 15 minutes to go. Okay. Okay, so ish and isha is from the word ish. Okay, here is the modern way of writing ish. Aleph, yod, and shin. It means man. Woman is aleph, shin, and hey. What do you notice? The ish has a yod. The isha has a hey. What is the name of God?
Yeah.
Okay? Okay. Wait a minute here. Go back. Ish has the yod. Isha has the hey. There is a story being told here. This is how we write it in pictograph. Man and women. Woman. Okay. And God's name is?
Yah.
So when God is not in the relationship, when we remove the hand and the hay, when we remove the hand, the yod from ish, and when we remove the hay from the word isha, we only have two fires consuming each other. If you do not have yah in your marriage, you're just going to eat each other. You're going to devour each other. That's the story being told in the name ish in isha. You will consume each other without God in your life, in your relationship. Okay? Okay. The Deuteronomy 6:4-9, we say this before our class. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then the next verses, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house," called mezuzah, on your gates. That is, bind them on your hand and put them in between your eyes, on your foreheads. Now, this is called a phylacteries, and this is a tefillin, okay? And you see this a lot when you go to Israel, when you go especially to the Kotel in the Wailing Wall, you see them doing this, okay? Because they took Deuteronomy 6:4 very literally, okay? Bind them on your right hand, okay? Put them on in between your eyes. Okay, so this is the Shema in Hebrew. Okay, it starts, this is the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Be'ehavta et Adonai Elohecha. Can you, okay, let's see. Do you see these other dots here? Okay, let's see. Like this. This one here. This is not a vowel point. Okay. You see this look like a carrot here? Uh-huh. This is not a vowel point. And see this one here? These are musical notes. You see this? These are musical notes. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha ve'kol levavka ve'kol nafshika ve'kol meodecha ve'hayu hadvarim ha'ele. Hasher anuchi metshavcha hayom al levavecha beshinantam beshinantam levavecha bedibarta bam beshivtecha bebetecha ublechtecha baderek upshavtecha becha upkumecha וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטופות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך. This is why there are notes there. You are supposed to sing it. Okay, the red word in the middle. Why the word I sang it? Because we're going back to the red word here. Beshin nantam. Beshin nantam. Look at the shin and the nun. What is shin and nun together? It is tooth. Okay? The word in English, it says, and you shall what? Impress them on your children. That is a very, very weak translation, because the translation that shows impress is not in Hebrew. Veshinantam. Shin, here it's involved chewing. It means here, make your children chew or memorize the word of God. Not just you impress to them the word of God, but let them memorize it, chew it. Shin, that's why the word teeth is in that word, veshinantam. It's not just impressing your children to your children, okay? All right, so that's the phylacteries, and that is the tefillin. Well, you know, the Lord has always this surprises. You know, that's why we have the seven feasts. The four feasts were already fulfilled: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. Right, the Holy Spirit came down and just reside in our hearts now. Okay, this is the phylacteries. Okay, and inside it, there's a hole right there, and inside it is actually the written word of God, the Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, the one that I just sang to you, I chanted to you. They put it inside. And what does it look like? There's a shin. And sometimes there's this kind of shin. There's four prongs here. And we know that the letter shin relates to fire. Okay. Doesn't this look like tongues of fire? Tongues of fire that divided? Okay. During the Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, what happened? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I believe one place, where do they pray? At the temple, right? Not just one place, not just in an upper room. No, they're in the temple. They're always together. They're praying. And suddenly there came sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The house there. Okay, because the temple is also called the house of the Lord. Okay, the house there should be temple where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them what? Divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's go back here. Divided. Divided flame. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire. They're I cannot pronounce that.
Phylacteries.
Phylacteries. Their phylacteries is actually pointing to the Pentecost, that one day a literal fire will be on their foreheads. That phylacteries that says, you know, shin actually got fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. Okay? Right there. There's our letter shin. The letter shin also symbolizes the word El Shaddai. The Shaddai there means mighty, almighty. El is God, Shaddai is almighty. But almighty is a good translation. But the word Shaddai is actually shoded. Shoded means nutrition. Okay? Or nourishment. Okay? All right, let's see what else I have here. There's Shaddai. The word Shaddai also is an acrostic. This is Shomer Daltot Israel. Sh-da-yod, okay? Shin-dalet-yod. Shaddai also means Shomer Daltot Israel, which means the keeper or the guardian of the gates of Israel. And so that is the letter shin. Is there any question?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So word you were using to describe man, ish, this fire, ish,
The same word shows up in Genesis 33 and in Tanakh in verse 25 where it says Jacob wrestled with the Ish. With the Ish?
Ish, yes, yeah. The man.
The man, but then he says, I've seen God and lived. So is it, I've always heard some Messianic rabbis say that's the example of fully God, fully man.
That is a very, very deep theology right there. The story goes, Malach Adonai, and then he called him also a man, Ish, and then there's another one.
Because the King James would say, Angel of the Lord, Malach
Adonai,
but the Tanakh calls him Ish. And then
both. Yeah. Actually, in Genesis 33. Is that 33?
33.
With Jacob, when he wrestled with the Ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same word.
So it's almost, it's
the, man,
it's,
yes.
Well, it's like he wrestled with Jesus before he showed up.
Well, you know, there's a lot of theophany and Christophany in the Bible. So it could be it, yeah. He wrestled with a human. It's a Christophany. It's Jesus appearing before his incarnation. Okay. But I don't mind talking about deep theology. Yes, Aya.
Easy question. Say that little word again.
Daltot.
No.
Daltot is the plural for dalet, which is door. Okay? Now, you notice kof. One monkey, three monkeys, kofim. Kofim is masculine. That's why it ends with the im. Dalet is feminine. So in the plural, it has the ot ending. So, Delet, I'm sorry, not Dalet. Delet is door, Daltot, doors. Okay. And we'll talk about that if we are allowed to meet after this course.
Did
I don't
know.
I don't know. I know. I know a lot of you guys are like, oh, what are we going to do after this? Well, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can
sign a petition.
Sign a petition. Yeah, you can do. You can sign a petition. You can talk to some pastors. Yes, I cannot. I am already packed on my Friday night. If I have a mansion, I would bring you in. You know, in my house, but I have a not very big house. So anyway, talk to our director or talk to one of the pastors. I love teaching. You can tell. You know, this is my chiefest joy is to relate. You know, give you a lot of this stuff because
your
I can.
Passion.
Yes. Okay. So, is there any other? We have 5 minutes. Any more questions? She'elot. Questions. She'elot. She'ela. Question. One question. She'elot. Oh. Kosher? Right. Kosher deals with food. Yeah. No. Yeah. Good question. Kosher starts with a food. Kosher. Okay. Let us close in prayer. Pastor Arnell, since you were gone for a long time, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the unveiling of so many things. And we know that we are so limited.
Mm-hmm.
You are unlimited.
Yes.
We pray that you will continue, Lord, to set our hearts to know you. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is guiding us into all truth. And we thank you, Lord, for Sister Lida, for using her as a channel, Lord, to reveal so many things, Lord. And we are so grateful for the revelation, for the knowledge that you are imparting to us through her. And so we pray that whatever the next step, as we have a last session next week, we pray that you will lead us. And we thank you for everything you've done as we will carry this in our hearts and as we dig into your word, as we grow in the knowledge of your will. We honor you and we bless you in all these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I have a...